I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center in Geneva. This is our weekly Hobart football podcast for Week 3, St. John Fisher, Saturday, 2 o'clock on the road. Joined by the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this injury thing's getting a little bit old. Shaquille Matthews, Week 1. Now Emmett Ford goes down. What do you know about him?
We had it was a solid win, but we took a hit. We had a handful of guys that were not able to practice this week that some are in question for this game. Some are going to be out for a couple weeks, and a lot of them were kind of to be determined. We don't know exact time frames yet, but it was a physical game, and we've taken a couple injuries, but hopefully our depth and the next man up mentality can show off a little bit.
We said you learn a lot about your team between weeks one and two, so give us an overview from the coach's viewpoint of 2 weeks in. How you look?
Yeah, it was a solid win. I think everyone was held up on the slower start on the offensive side of the ball, but really we had some plays there. We just didn't execute it as well as we needed to. But I actually think we did take a step forward in many facets on the offense side of the ball. We needed some of the receivers to step up, and I think partly with Shaquille's absence and then just a couple other guys that had some limited reps during the week that maybe affected a little bit of the passing chemistry. But, Morrisville did a really good job trying to, as a lot of teams are going to do, try to put extra guys at the point of attack, bring extra men up at the field, and try to confuse a little bit with the O-line. And, it took our running game a little bit longer to get going, but they were still doing fine. And I think David Crewson played well. A couple throws he might want back, a couple drops along the way, maybe skewed the stats a little bit. But I thought offensively we did take a step forward. Defense, I would say, even flexed their muscle a little bit more. And then again, we were going against a younger offense, younger quarterback, so we thought going in that could be a strength for ours. And took a couple injuries on that side of the ball, so a couple of guys got in early part of the game and played well in those opportunities, which shows the preparation that we talked about last week about having those twos and threes ready to go when the opportunity presents itself was really good. And then I thought on special teams, we took a couple steps forward there. So overall, much different opponent than Alfred. But from week one to week two, I did think we improved in all three facets.
Let's talk a little bit about the slow offensive start. There were some balls that weren't caught, but they were also pretty well covered. Were those catchable balls in your mind or kind of 50-50? It was hard to really put them on the receivers because there was good coverage and some good contact on a couple of those, separating the ball where it looked like it was going to be caught.
Yeah, early in the game, Morrisville, who had three out of their four starting defensive backs, were returning with experience. And they were much more of a man team than an Alfred. We saw more of a zone team. So to Morrisville's credit, they got in our face and they played some man. And we had some balls that I thought, I think it's just our opinion of our receivers. If we put it in their ability for them to touch their hands, most of the time we think those are 80-20 balls, that we should win 80% of the time. And I think a couple of the receivers, to the credit of Morrisville, they contested them, but I think a couple of those catches we could have come down in our favor. We're not expecting every one of those, but then there was a couple just clear drops, and unfortunately in inopportune times. Guys that were really open, or there was a couple on fourth down situations that would have extended drives. So what looked like a slow start, it really was more, I think, a combination of Morrisville State's playing a little bit more pressure, taking away the run and forcing us to pass it. And then the other part was maybe our inability to execute in those moments that, and that's what I was really telling the guys on the sideline. It wasn't many adjustments we needed to make. It was more just settling down, taking care of your 111th, and then execute when the opportunity presents itself.
You also had a little bit of what you expect when you have a quarterback who doesn't have a ton of experience and receivers who have almost none, and that's the miscommunication. There was an out pattern, receiver turned one way, ball's thrown the other. You're going to get a couple of those kinds of things.
And it happened more so because we were trying to play a couple of guys in the slot where Shaquille's position was. So, and that'll be I'm forecasting for this week. That's probably going to happen a little bit this week. St. John Fisher is going to try to pack the box and is going to give us some opportunities, but we're still evaluating ourselves, and I think we're still trying to figure out which combinations and where they're located give us the best opportunity at the receiver position. So, and again, a couple injuries at that position and the tight end position are going to now force guys to maybe play a little bit of a, not necessarily a new position, but just maybe run some routes in some different areas that they haven't run yet. So that chemistry piece is so important, and I think we're all going off of the standard of our passing game in the past when you had to really experience it at those two positions. And I've told everyone on the offense side, well, just take a deep breath. We're going to be fine. Just week to week, we'll just need to continue to make those progressions.
Well, and it looked to us, one of the areas where you miss Shaquille Matthews is his ability to go down and stretch the field. I mean, when you had Brandon Shedd here, he'd run 30 yards down the field. Three or four DBs would go with him. It opens up the rest of the field. And it's kind of the same thing with Shaquille. He just opens it up for the rest of those receivers.
No doubt. The speed factor is crucial. And you think of a lot of our key elite receivers we've had in the past, they had the ability to take the top end of a defense off and bring attention to them. So not only for them to catch the ball, but also to open up opportunities and holes for some other receivers. And I think that's what Shaquille was able to do. And we're going to need a couple other guys to do that. And I think that's really where, I don't know if it's any one guy. I think it's a combination of five, six, seven receivers. At any time, we'll have to be able to show that we can do that.
What did you say or do at the half? You came out and scored on the first two possessions in the second half and started to get control of the game.
I would love to say we had this magic conversation. It really just settling the guys down, telling them, obviously, that their abilities are, we're still confident in their abilities, but we just have to go out and play. We always like the ability to start with the ball early if we can in the second half, and hopefully see that if our halftime adjustments, and really just gives us an extra couple minutes to really look at what was called, maybe some adjustments and some formations and some different things that maybe a defense we think could adjust to. But really, it was more we executed at a higher level. That's really what it fundamentally came down to. There was a couple key blocks that opened up a couple plays in the second half that we sprung some, what would have been a 10 to 12 yard completion or 10 to 12 yard run, opened up for a bigger one. And again, I think it came down to the fact that we capitalized on a couple special team plays that changed the field position. So it's really all three phases. When we can marry those together, I think that's when we're going to be at our strongest.
In Rayshon Boswell, you've got a guy, anytime he gets a touch, it can be a touchdown. You got the screen pass to him. He stayed in and blocked on the play, then released, got him the ball, and then he makes things happen when he catches it.
He's pretty exciting with the ball in his hands. And I think we have that with a couple of players. I like what both he and Tim Denham, I think, at any time can make a what would look like a positive gain into a significant play. And we have a couple of receivers that maybe haven't shown that yet that we think can showcase that too. But there's no doubt, anyone that watches us knows that number one and number two, those two jersey numbers, are pretty special players with the ball in their hands. And really what people aren't going to look at, but there was about three significant blocks on that play that take what would have been a really positive gain. Yes, he had the ability to then stretch it, but I think of a freshman, first-year receiver, Mike Battis, had a pancake block, and we probably don't score without that. Ben Frank, the left tackle, gets out there and makes a significant block. Devin Adamo, the guards chasing downfield. Just, I think of all those guys that everyone thinks of Rayshon, and that's obviously a tribute to Rayshon's ability, but we always talk about those big plays happen when we do the little things right every single play. And those other three guys had key significant blocks there to string that one open.
Do you think you'll shorten up the passing game any? It's been a little bit difficult getting the longer completions without Shaquille Matthews, but you got that screen pass, and it seems like a lot of times those 6 and 7 yarders are there and can lead to more.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a part of our game. I think it's how teams are defending us. Through the first two games, we've seen a lot of 8-man boxes, so everything is condensed, tight, and down shallow. So it's twofold. It's one, that's where the openings are, and then the other part is I think we're trying to stretch some defenses out. And sometimes an incompletion can still do that. It'll scare a coordinator or a defensive back to say, you know what, maybe we didn't complete it, but if we got by them, that's where our rhythm and chemistry has to be able to convert some more of those than maybe we've done so far. But I think my goal as a coordinator is that we're always going to attack every inch of the field. Sideline to sideline, and you're going to see more deep balls from us than most teams. Understanding the further you go down the field, you decrease the completion percentage, but sometimes high risk, high reward right there, and I think that's where we're still going to stretch defenses as long as I'm here.
You talk about the running game. The first two are pretty good, and behind them, Drew Walsh had a touchdown in week one. Regios scored a touchdown in week two. Those guys have both had a chance to get in there and play, and that's part of that philosophy we talked about last week. When the time comes, those guys are game-hardened and ready to go.
No doubt, and I think you're going to see more and more two, potentially three-back sets coming forward. Just, again, trying to mix and match personnel. We have some injuries and some depth issues at the tight end position. So typically in the past, we've been a lot of two and three tight end sets. We haven't done as many of those yet, just younger guys, and I think we can evolve to that way. But I think you're going to see a lot more of the running back position right now. I think we have a handful of guys, and honestly, our fifth and sixth tailback right now could go out and do very good things. So we started to package two first years, Frank Riggio and Andres Duran, a little bit more. Not only are they helping out in special teams, but they were getting a lot more offensive reps. And right now, Drew Walsh, is playing really, really well, the best of his career. And I think week to week, we already talked about this week, he should hopefully have a larger role in this game. And just we feel confident putting the ball in any of those guys' hands. And I think that's going to give us the ability to hopefully keep him fresh and keep the depth that we want at that position moving forward.
Defensively, no touchdowns allowed in 2 weeks. They were 0 for 12 on their first 12 third downs. And it's no one guy. I mean, it's up and down the roster, people making plays. The defensive line getting the pressure, the linebackers, a couple of more interceptions, terrific coverage by the DBs.
Yeah, it's what you want. You know, when you can go 11 strong on defense, and like we talked about last week, I think we have some pretty good depth into our twos, and that showed with a couple injuries. The twos jumped in, and they showed that they could be ones. And we've done a lot, a lot of different looks and a lot of different things to kind of keep those other offenses honest. I also think we benefited from two younger quarterbacks that we faced in both games. And I think some of the things we were talking about, our depth the cohesiveness of our offense, it's going to take a little bit of time. Typically, defenses are ahead of offenses, and I think I think both those teams we face, Alfred and Morrisville State, will be better as the season progresses and those younger quarterbacks and younger offenses get some experience. So, but credit to our guys, they made some plays, came up with some key stops when we needed to, and then those turnovers helped change the field position and ultimately led to some points for the offense. So really, that's hopefully offense capitalizing when the defense makes those mistakes happen.
You're 12-0 in your career when you win the turnover battle after winning it this past week. Is that something you can coach, taking the ball away, or does that just come up in certain circumstances?
We absolutely try to coach it. I think it. There's no doubt anyone that touches the ball on our offense and or special teams, we focus on taking care of the football. And we drill it, we coach it, we do a lot with technique, we do a lot with how to finish forward and protecting the football. And then on defense, Coach Green and Coach Flashacker have done a great job, along with all of our defensive coaches, focusing on whether it's tip drills and balls in the air, we're going to be aggressive. And the other part is a lot of just takeaway in terms of ripping the ball out. And it goes back fundamentally how we recruit. A lot of our defensive players have offensive backgrounds, and we believe recruiting guys that have those ball skills, yes, you can train them, but sometimes if they're used to being receivers and running backs or quarterbacks, they're used to having that ball in their hands. So we're going to be an aggressive defense. When that ball's in the air, we're going to try to go get it.
How do you feel about the pass rush so far? You have, I think, just one sack, but sacks don't always tell the whole story. We've seen a lot of times a quarterback can be under pressure. Maybe you don't sack him, but he gets away a poor throw, and that's where you get some of those picks.
Absolutely, and I think that's what we've seen through two games. I think people have known coming in that we're going to be on a pressure defense, and I think they've had a lot of schemes that have said get the ball out quickly, which obviously helps the coverage and helps the defensive backs and linebackers don't have to be in coverage as long. Our D-line's doing a really good job stopping the run, and then we're manufacturing a pass rush with the ability to add some linebackers in, and that's common for the 3-4 defense that we are based right now. But I think as a whole, I've been pleased. We obviously want to continue to get more hits on the quarterback and affect their ability to feel comfortable in the pocket. But sometimes those stats can be deceiving because I think we are getting near the quarterback, maybe just not finish it off, but to the credit of those other quarterbacks, they're getting rid of it. And so sometimes a throwaway, an incompletion, can be just as good if we're rushing and pressuring the quarterback.
You talked about last week kind of having an open competition for the kicking spots right now. Weffering came in and kicked off a little bit. He tried an extra point. You had a different punter in there at one point. How do you feel overall about that unit now 2 weeks in?
That was what I really was pleased with. I thought we did a better job in the kicking game. Still, I think both Tobias and Rob both missed maybe an accuracy kickoff, but they did a really good job, and we were good on our field goals and good on our extra points. So that part of it, and then we got Kiernan Hamilton along with Toby kicking in from the punting standpoint. So again, just trying to generate depth, and I think that will continue to go here for the next couple weeks, is that allow that to naturally take its course. And right now I feel good that there's not a clear number one or number two in those situations. So let's use them both and hopefully just prepare them for the upcoming games with some confidence with all three of those guys.
End of the game situation was terrific. You were able to finish off and run out the clock with mostly the number twos in there. Joe Pelletier came in and ran the offense. Like you said, the backup guys ran well. Backup linemen opened holes, and you were able to move the chains and kill the clock, which is a big thing to be able to do to finish games.
Yeah, I loved it, and I was excited to see that. You want to finish off the game the right way. At the same time, we talked about we had a lot of our twos and threes in there, and to let them get some game experience and some confidence was crucial. And you think about Joe Pelletier had his first throwing touchdown, Alex Labella's first receiving touchdown, Frank Reed. There was a lot of firsts the last two games. which goes hopefully to the credit of what we went and talked about last week, is just that the whole team mindset of everyone understanding their role and increasing and finding ways to improve every single day. And I think that's the part was really neat to see, is there was some really good confidence built at the end. And by no means, I was debating on, you know, not scoring the last one. I didn't want to run it up. We weren't. We were, you know, just running the ball, and Frank ended up, you know, popping one there. But, you know, I think out of respect for Ed and the Morrisville staff, I always want to make sure we're doing things the right way.
Well, and the other thing that does, it builds the confidence in those guys. But the other guys behind them that aren't on the field say, hey, you know, he got in, he got his first touchdown. Stay ready, next man up, and my turn will come.
And based on how the first 2 weeks have gone, that's been very, really important for us. So, yeah, knock on wood, we're going to continue that mindset of getting everyone prepared. So, you know, 1 through 4 or whatever the depth chart is going to make sure everyone has that ability to know their assignment, be confident when they're in there, and then hopefully be able to perform when the opportunity presents itself.
St. John Fisher on the road this Saturday. When I think of Fisher, I guess the first thing I think about is an offense that spreads the ball around a lot of wide receivers. They're really going to try to spread the field and stretch out your D.
Yeah, they have a new offensive coordinator who's putting a lot of run focus in. So they have they're going to be a couple big linemen up front. So they're going to try to lean on you there. And then they have a couple dynamic offensive players. Returning at the quarterback position, they have a guy with some significant experience from 2019, who was the rookie of the year for the Empire 8. So he has the ability and the confidence to throw the ball around. You know, they have 3 graduate seniors at wide receiver. So unlike our opportunity where we're still trying to have some young guys step up, they have all 3 of their top guys coming back. And one in particular that, you know, every time he touches it, he's going to be a dangerous guy. So you throw that in with a 2 or 3 good running backs, I think this will be a more complete offense. It'll be the best challenge for our defense to date, just in terms of, you know, the first 2 teams were solid teams, but maybe didn't have the experience at the quarterback position or were young at some others. Fisher, for the most part, has experience at all levels, so that should make them a more formidable opponent for our defense.
With the inexperienced quarterbacks you faced, you've played a lot of games with the linebackers. They'll come up, they'll show blitz, they'll back up, they'll show blitz in one hole, come through another. Do you do as much of that with an experienced quarterback, or do you simplify a little bit?
I think it's combinations. I think it's knowing when to do it. But yeah, we're going to change. We're not going to change who we are. I think we're still evolving, and as much as we're focused on Fisher for this week, we're also talking about what is the Hobart standard of where we want our defense to be for the entire season and beyond. And I think right now that's the thing, that we're going to be an aggressive defense, and I think that's just a part of our DNA. So we're going to continue to attack. Obviously, a more experienced quarterback might be able to feel like there's going to be some areas where they can attack, and that's where it's the fun chess match of knowing when to blitz, when not to blitz, when to disguise, when not to disguise. And we're doing it with some new faces again this week. So we want to still generate, not just for the focus of Fisher this week, but for week 4, 5, 6, looking big picture.
2 big wins, so those kind of disguise any sort of weaknesses. Is there an area where you feel you haven't been as good as you'd like to be? I know as a coach you say all of them, but is there a particular spot where you say, here's where we really need to get better?
You know me well, Ted. We have a lot of areas to improve on. I think the scores have been, you know, convincing wins, but I look back and there's definitely some areas and really all 3 phases that we need to improve on. I think defensively, there's been some times where maybe we were not as sound as we needed to be, and maybe we didn't get exploited, you know, which is obviously just as you're moving parts over there, just, you know, from maybe a linebacker depth and coverage or a corner, you know, leverage, all those little things as we're starting to, you know, build some experience with literally some guys who maybe haven't had a ton of game experience. We want to keep that progression going. But I think our defense hasn't been challenged as much on the field in the last 2 games. And I think this week they're going to get challenged. So let's see how we respond. That'll be a huge part of it. I think offensively, you know, I think there's been more focus on that just because of how the high level our defense has been playing. But offensively, you know, there's going to be opportunities, and we're still, like, literally doing some installation. So, I mean, week to week, you're going to see new wrinkles, and we're going to continue to develop this offense all the way through until they tell us we can't play this year, you know. And then on the special teams, we talked about, I think, building that confidence in our kicking game. And a lot of these injuries has also changed special teams significantly. And I think that's my focus this week, is that we probably had more changes in special teams this week than we have the last 3 weeks combined. So now, where are those guys confident in both their assignments and then being able to go out and execute in the special team game? So to me, special teams will be a huge part of this game. Their head coach is their special teams coordinator, similar to how Coach Craig was. You know the attention to detail that we have in our special teams. So I think it'll be 2 teams that are going to take pride in their special teams, can there be a play or two that sways the momentum or significantly changes the game potentially? We want to make sure hopefully that goes in our favor, and with new moving parts, that'll be a part that I think, I'm not saying it's a weakness yet, but it's definitely an area of attention.
You did have the one special teams breakdown on the punt rush. In fact, I think their biggest play from scrimmage was the punter taking off. Was that just guys getting out of their lanes?
It was a young opportunity for a young DB that was trying to do something out of his element. We had talked about it during the week, and ironically, we blocked the kick later on. We thought we could have had two others before that. And one, we got the incompletion that changed the field position. That was a young player trying to do something that didn't fit in with our team concept. We had a conversation on the sideline about knowing his 111th, and he came out, and you know, that's the confidence we want to build, to come right back to him, and he performed well the next play. So, yeah, there's no doubt that one play kind of was one early in the game that could have just kept our momentum going. It kind of gave them another opportunity and changed the field position. But, yeah, there's definitely some opportunities there in the special teams that you know, hopefully we can clean up on from last week.
Great start, 2-0. We've been calling a lot of names, especially in the defensive side. A lot of guys making the plays. Best of luck against Fisher.
Appreciate it, Ted. Thank you.
This is our Hobart Football Podcast. Ted Baker here with Coach Kevin DeWall. Join us again next time. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts, and rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts if you want your Hobart news throughout the day. Follow the Statesman on Twitter at Hobart Football and Instagram at Hobart Football. Of course, the official website is hwsathletics.com. Thanks for listening, and have a great football day.